Hello Moto.
And Hello Rola.
The mobile phone maker calls it Splits.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media, in for Steve Chiotakis, I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles.
And I'm Jeremy Hobson in New York. It's the midday update from Marketplace.org for Tuesday, January 4th. Coming up, those floods in northern Australia could have ripple effects far beyond the borders of Oz. Also, NASCAR is losing the race for fans.
But first, to today's news about Motorola. The company was founded in Chicago back in 1928, but it's been losing billions of dollars because of poor cell phone sales in recent years. Today, it becomes two companies. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Motorola makes the Droid X, one of the hottest smartphones on the market. The company also does big business with police and fire departments.
Motorola has been number one in public safety radios since DIRT was invented.
Edward Snyder of Charter Equities Research says the public safety business helped keep Motorola afloat when its cell phone business was losing $1 billion a year.
The company would have never survived through the down cycle between 2007 and 2010.
In the split, Motorola Solutions gets the more stable parts of the business, like radios and scanners. Motorola Mobility will make the riskier gadgets, like smartphones. Matthew Thornton of Avian Securities says even the mobile business is looking solid these days.
They're not trying to be all things to everyone. They're much more focused and almost exclusively focused on the smartphone category, which is, you know, growing like a weed.
And he expects it to stay profitable, thanks in part to a new product, a computer tablet Motorola is expected to unveil this week. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Personal bankruptcies were up 9% last year. That's according to the American Bankruptcy Institute. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from Washington with more. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
So not necessarily a bad thing. What do the numbers tell us?
Well, 1.5 million Americans declared personal bankruptcy last year. A lot of that 9% rise was increased filings out west, California and Arizona specifically. It is still rough for households out there, many still underwater on their mortgage debt. Having said that, here's the turning the page side of the story. That's according to economist Mark Zandi at Moody's Analytics.
To some degree, it is clearing the proverbial financial decks. People are reducing their debt load, so that frees up their future income to be able to spend more freely. The bad news is people are under still a lot of stress, but the good news is that stress is starting to abate, and my guess is next year bankruptcies will be down.
Bankruptcies will be down. Scott, does that mean the consumer economy will start to turn the corner soon?
Actually, Mark Zandi thinks it's starting to happen now. He sees broader consumer debt and delinquencies inching down, that consumers are spending more aggressively than we were in the dark, dark days. But you put two economists in a room, you know what happens. The folks over at the American Bankruptcy Institute think the number may actually increase this year.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now to a potential rebound in the market for office space. The property research company Reis says last quarter, office rents rose for the first time since 2008, and the amount of occupied office space jumped.
Let's get some reaction now from Julie Neiman, an analyst at Smith, Moore & Company. She joins us from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So do you see a rebound in the office space, commercial real estate sector here?
Well, we didn't have Apocalypse Part 2 like everybody was expecting with the real estate bubble here. The housing basically had lax lending, huge optimism. Commercial real estate, you've got more longer-term pension funds, insurance companies, and a lot of that debt has been restructured. So it didn't fall as far, and it's coming back, especially in prime areas, A, B, and C spaces.
A, B, and C spaces. What do you mean by that?
Well, downtown is where everybody's going now, the A space. That's highly visible, modern, updated, good leasing packages. The banks and financial companies have been moving down there. They delayed it over the last couple of years, just squeeze in another desk. That's where you're seeing this good resurrection in properties. Now, the B spaces, they're glass office buildings along the highways. Who was there? Those were the mortgage lenders, home builders. They're dead. That's going to be very slow in coming back. And the strip malls, well, those are 25 years old, no renovation. You just have flea markets there and skateboard areas, so they're perfectly dead. The investment is coming back in the A space, and that's where the resurrection in office buildings are coming.
Are you in an A space, Julie?
I'm here in the basement at home.
Okay. Julie Neiman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
There's word this morning that the media giant Viacom unloaded the company that makes the video game Rock Band last month for a song, so to speak. The Wall Street Journal's All Things Digital blog reports when the once red-hot game franchise went cold, Viacom sold Harmonix to an investment group for $49.99, which happens to be the list price for Rock Band 3. There is more to the story. The Columbus Nova Investment Group assumed the game company's liabilities, think debt and music licensing fees and such. And the deal was structured so Viacom gets as much as $150 million in tax benefits.
You're listening to the Midday Update for Tuesday, January 4th. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Bob Moon. For the latest look at the markets, go to the numbers at marketplace.org. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world.
Prices for some global commodities have spiked as much as 20% in recent days as flooding continues to ravage northern Australia. As water recedes in some areas, farmers are returning to their land to find entire crops wiped out. From Sydney, Stuart Cohen reports now, the ripple effects will likely be felt far beyond Australia's borders.
At this busy supermarket in Sydney, the price of fresh fruit and vegetables hasn't gone up just yet. But like the slow-moving floodwaters in Queensland to the north, shoppers know it's coming. All they can do is wait.
There's not a lot you can do, especially with fresh goods, and that's what I buy mostly of. So fruit, vegetables, and meat, they go up, then I pay more.
Floodwaters have left orchards of mangoes, melons, and bananas coated in thick mud, so prices of those fruits are expected to quadruple and possibly stay that way for months. The prices of wheat and other grains are also expected to spike. John Cummings is head of the National Retail Grocers Association.
That's a huge effect on a whole pile of different products. Pumpkin has doubled in price in the last 5 days. Some fruits we won't see this summer. They're finished.
Queensland is a major exporter of wheat, sugar, and coal. That could affect everything from the price of candy to the price of steel in the U.S. Wheat prices are reportedly already up as a result. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
A merger between two of the world's most famous car companies has moved one step closer to reality. The German automakers Volkswagen and Porsche are now more likely to tie the knot following a decision by an American court. With us to discuss this is European correspondent Stephen Beard. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Bob.
So how could a court ruling here in the U.S. allow for a European merger?
Okay, well, a group of hedge funds were suing Porsche in the US for more than $2 billion. What happened was this. Porsche, the relatively small German sports car maker, was trying audaciously to take over Europe's biggest car manufacturer, VW. Porsche covertly bought shares in VW at a time when many hedge funds were betting that VW shares would go down. The hedge funds lost a bundle. But their lawsuit for damages in the US has now been dismissed, and that removes a big obstacle to what is now the planned merger between VW and Porsche.
I can never figure it out. I say Porsche, you say Porsche. So in this merger, who's going to be in the driver's seat?
Well, definitely VW is the much bigger group. This battle has been, to some extent, a personal struggle between the CEO of Porsche and the key executive running VW. I've just been talking to auto analyst Jürgen Pieper in Frankfurt, who's been telling me about this battle.
It's really a fight for power of two men, if you want. Both are really alpha persons.
alpha males.
Alpha males, yeah, absolutely.
He says VW doesn't really need another sports car company, but this merger will at least end this long-running battle and swat this rather irritating smaller company that's been bugging it.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Bob.
Well, if you really want to know what's going on in the world, follow the money. And if you want to follow the money, you'll need to go where the people are. A higher birth rate produces rising numbers of consumers. And a new analysis of world population trends suggests global economic power is shifting toward Asia.
Timothy Homan of Bloomberg News rounded up the facts and figures on populations around the globe. He joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
You went through a lot of data on world populations, and it seems Asia's the big winner here. Is there something special about Asia's population that makes for a bright future?
Well, the fact that they have such large populations over there allows for a larger labor force, and that means lots of workers. And not only has it been attractive for companies in those countries, but it's been very attractive for companies in sort of the Western world. That means lots of dollars are flowing into those countries, and they just have more money to spend than they would have otherwise.
Well, we've watched a rivalry emerge in the past few years between these two growing economic powers, China and India. How do population patterns play into that rivalry?
India has seen its population increase at a faster rate. They don't have the one-child policy that China does. And that just means that they're able to attract more foreign investment because foreign companies know that there will always be this sort of replenishing supply in the labor force.
You point out a few developed nations where the populations are actually contracting. What is that going to mean for their position in the global economy?
That's going to mean that they're going to have a harder time supporting their aging population. If you don't have younger workers entering the workforce, then you have a hard time supporting people through the equivalent of Social Security. A lot of these countries are going to have to be looking to outside labor, and that means they might have to sort of relax their immigration policies.
I have to ask about us, as in U.S.
Yes.
What are the population trends here, and how might they relate to our future growth?
The U.S. has one of the lowest median age, about 39.6 in the U.S., and that's going to be younger than China in about the next 20 years. What it means is that the population growth in the U.S. is actually going to be buoyed by this higher fertility rate. It means that we will sort of stay in the number three position in population-wise for about the next 40 years.
The fountain of youth right here.
Yes.
Timothy Homan is a reporter for Bloomberg. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Midday Update for Tuesday, January 4th. I'm Jeremy Hobson in New York.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. For the latest look at the markets, go to the numbers at marketplace.org.
Well, when the NASCAR season gets underway in Daytona next month, racing officials will be crossing their fingers for a big turnout. NASCAR was once the fastest growing sport in the country, but its popularity has stalled in recent years. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
Tennessee's Bristol Motor Speedway, one of the most hallowed of all NASCAR tracks, had a streak of sellout races dating back to the Reagan administration. In 2010, that came to a screeching halt. Jim Pedley is the managing editor of the online publication Racin' Today. He says the empty seats at Bristol are far from unique.
The last Talladega race looked 60 to 70% full. It's still 100,000 people, but there used to be a time when you couldn't get a ticket to a race like at, say, Daytona or Talladega.
And it's not just fewer fans at the tracks. Since signing a $4.5 billion deal with Fox and ESPN 4 years ago, NASCAR's lost nearly one out of every four TV viewers. During the 1990s, when NASCAR made its push for the mainstream, it opened tracks in places like Las Vegas, L.A., and Chicago. In 1997, racer Al Unser Jr. attended the first race at Gateway International Raceway outside of St. Louis.
The type of investment that has been made here will sustain the top form of auto racing for many years to come.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Gateway saw its last race in October and is currently up for sale.
The NASCAR events just haven't been profitable for us.
Terry Harmison manages the track for Dover Motorsports. He blames Gateway's demise on the continued down economy.
If I knew all the reasons why people didn't come, I hopefully would have solved those and found some way to get them to come, but some people don't have any of that extra money to spend, or they got to make decisions as to where they spend it.
Eager to put the past behind them, NASCAR points to increased sponsorship revenue, including a multi-year partnership with American Ethanol. But as Jim Pedley notes, NASCAR's not out of the pit yet.
I think at this point, they'd be pretty satisfied if they could stop the bleeding. If you look at the TV numbers next year, and they're about the same as they were this year, I think they'd be pretty happy about that.
On the bright side, if you're a fan, you're in a buyer's market. Tracks across the country are slashing prices, hoping to fill seats. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
For pro football fans, excitement about the playoffs is mixed with anxiety about the very real chance there might be a lockout next season. Today, a court-appointed investigator hears a complaint from the league's players union. The players argue owners inked deals with TV networks for less money than they could have gotten, on purpose. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
Players and owners have been trying to hammer out a new collective bargaining agreement since 2008. The contract runs out in just 2 months. But if there's a lockout and games get canceled, owners will still get $4.5 billion from TV contracts they negotiated. The NFL Players Association calls it lockout insurance and says it's an unfair advantage.
The players are concerned that owners are going to say, well, we're going to be paid anyway next year. We're not in a great hurry to negotiate. And if players don't want to go with what we want, then they're going to have to be the ones to wait out.
Michael McCann directs the Sports Law Institute at Vermont Law School.
I think the harder question is whether or not that's actually illegal and whether or not it contravenes the spirit of the collective bargaining agreement in any of its provisions.
Team owners want more games in a season, a pay ceiling for rookies, and a greater share of revenues. Both sides had hoped to reach an agreement before the Super Bowl. Michael McCann still holds out hope.
At the end of the day, it would seem that it's in both parties' interest to get a deal done and to continue playing football.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, Bob, the moving truck company Allied has come out with a list of the top relocation destinations of 2010. Any guesses as to the state where most people are moving?
Nevada.
Close, not far. It's actually Texas. It's drawing more relocators than any other state. Colorado, Florida, South Carolina, Arizona, those round out the top five. At the other end of the spectrum, any guesses?
I would say New York City.
Well, New York State is on the list. Maybe it's the people who live upstate that are leaving. But Allied says Michigan, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania lost the most people. Well, I'm here to say that I don't mind the cold weather as much, apparently, as the rest of America. And I'm happy here in New York. So I'm Jeremy Hobson in New York.
And I'm Bob Moon in sunny Los Angeles.
Don't rub it in, Bob.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.